Deer Plugged In. You in on this? Toyota's versatile SUVs roll up their sleeves and take on tough jobs, dress up for a night out, or haul your family and friends with their spacious interiors. And they're available with some real sweet tech. Want a hybrid SUV? Oh yeah, they got those too. All with a slew of standard features so you won't break the bank. Get the juice at Toyota.com, folks.
Visit your Front Range Toyota stores today. Toyota, let's go places.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Welcome in to the DNVR Avalanche Podcast presented by DraftKings Sportsbook. Use code DNVR when we sign up for a new account to get amazing odds boosts every single day. Blaze, Rudo, Megan, coming to you as the Avs. A disappointing loss to the Vancouver Canucks, 4-3 at the end of the night. We all should have just stayed in bed and never thought about this game ever again. Obviously not great. Probably more concerning than the loss was the injury to Evan Rodriguez. We will get into all of it in a little bit after Megan does a 60-second rundown for us.
It's not going to be my greatest work because I'm going to just read directly off my phone. I normally do that, but it's going to... I'm ready.
All right. 3, 2, 1.
All right. 21 seconds in, a failed clear behind the net led to a goal against. Vancouver got on the board first. Evan Rodriguez left the period and didn't return after a weird collision in his knee. About midway in the first, Mikko slid into the crease and slid what I believe was a well-timed Devontaeves shot. That was from Arturi Lehkonen. Got them on the board. As that period wrapped, JT Compher made a sprawling effort to settle the puck and direct it to Rantanen at the right circle, and so Colorado was up 2-1 going into the second. In the second, Avs challenged that Garland goal for interference, and they succeeded, but seconds later, Ethan Bear's shot was tipped by Bo Horvat for a tie game. Mikko sacrificed his face for a double minor high stick, and after several McKinnon one-timer attempts, Cam Makar got it done. Third period, Sheldon Dry scores 4-4 after Makar Red Rovers a guy at the blue line, and there's this controversial call, which we'll talk about. Canucks get up 4-3, win the game after some weird officiating in the third.
And that's it for the pod. Thanks. Yeah, let's get out of here.
Unfortunately for us, no. We have to stay here until Thanksgiving by law. Look, the Avs had multiple leads in this hockey game. And
oh, I don't like this.
Did not win. it's a little bit disappointing for sure. Yes, there are certainly extenuating circumstances. Evan Rodriguez genuinely hurt, missing Mikko for parts of the game. We saw multiple other players get banged up across the course of this game, whether it be Makar or Compher. Not great. And we'll get into all of that. But one loss isn't that big of a deal compared to the potential of losing Evan Rodriguez for a significant amount of time. We don't have any details on the injury other than he just didn't return tonight. You know how it's going to go. Bednar's going to say he hasn't talked to the trainers yet. So we won't really know possibly until Friday and they're away. So someone will ask Bednar, I'm sure, and we probably won't have a ton of details. But safe to say when it happened, it did not look good.
I mean, especially when no one's touching the player and they go down in a heap. It's never a good sign because that's something snapping.
Hopefully not, but yeah. It's definitely scary looking. I'll put it that way.
Yeah.
Obviously hoping for the best there. Maybe it was just something weird and he'll be back Friday. We don't know. But that's not how I'm writing it down in my brain. I'm getting ready to, for him to be gone for a while.
Yes.
And that's bad. The Avs are down to three actual top six forwards at that point. If Erod does miss significant time, being MacKinnon, Rantanen, who now has a broken nose, and Lehkonen. So it's not getting any easier. That is for sure. But the actual game itself, first goal is weird, right? Like, I think I even tweeted out, LOL, the Avs didn't wake up for the game, but it's just a weird puck that skips off of Devontae's stick. A routine play where all the Avs are expecting Taves to handle it and they're going the other way. Instead, it's a wide open guy in front because none of the Avs are in position for a puck bouncing by him.
Well, it's just kind of weird because, like, I think there's a little bit of a misread there too, because Taves looks like he was going to come to the front of the net,
yeah,
to cover.
Yeah.
So Makar goes down to cover the guy, but they're both actually on him
behind the goal line. Yeah. Yeah.
So it just left a guy wide open in the slot. He flubs the puck, and it just flips over the top of the glove.
They definitely weren't expecting it, and even Makar was a step behind that play, which isn't typical of him, and it was just because of how weird it was.
When you have those two guys back there, a guy flubs it, you're like, all right, we'll have to, you know, we're going to recover the puck.
Right,
because
it posed a huge threat.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, the first goal of the game given up there. And you know what? Like, through the first half of this game, the Avs worked hard to completely negate that first goal and then some, right?
Yeah.
Through the rest of the first period, the Avs were the better team. They end up picking up two goals, both from Mikko. The first one, just a good dash right down the middle of the ice. The second one, a classic Mikko rip a puck into a wide open net on the power play? Well, it was a power play, right?
It was.
Is that the JT Compher when he passes
the
over?
The second Mikko. Yeah. The one that was the one-timer from the circle was.
Yeah.
The one where he was in the crease, though, was not. Yeah. But very cool.
Very cool. It Great description.
Well, he, like, choked down on his stick so far. Did you see that? He was playing, like, with half his stick.
He does that fairly often in and around the net. And, you know, we kind of saw it at other times when he was out. They had Newhook trying to play that side of the goal spot, and it's like, nah, dog.
Yeah, Mikko, floor hockey champion.
He does have some of those floor ball moves. You're not wrong. And look, when you're looking at this game, if you're asking the Avs top dogs to show up, they absolutely did.
Yep.
They gave you three goals tonight. It's hard to really put any more weight on those guys' shoulders in this hockey game, you know, depending on how you feel about that Cale Makar call. But I'm pretty sure I know how everyone in this chat feels about it, and they're not going to blame Cale for it. So
you want to talk about that right now?
No, we'll get there. I'm just saying, your top dogs got the job done tonight, and you still came up a little bit short. Is some of that exhausted legs from losing guys? Probably. Is some of that you're icing half an AHL roster? Probably.
That you don't trust completely, so you're leaning on the other three lines to really do heavy lifting.
Yeah.
Completely.
So I'm just trying to say, look, yeah, it's a disappointing loss, but there's some context here that you have to understand where it's like, well, you know, it's kind of surprising the Avs haven't had more losses like this with this roster, really.
I'm not upset with this loss. It didn't feel like the Avs played badly either. They were just fighting themselves, trying to avoid further injury, and that felt like the greatest concern.
Yeah. Yep. They didn't avoid injury, though.
They did not. So. They did not get off this one.
Get one back, subtract one off. Right. You know, what are you going to do?
Pretty sure Bednar got hurt. I'm just kidding.
That would just be par for the course, wouldn't it?
I mean, if you look at the track record, though, of what's gone on in the last, what, let's say 10 games, it's been real positive, right? Like, they're going to have a game where the puck luck's just not in their favor, right?
Yep.
You stole one from Carolina that you shouldn't have won, and then, you know, you give it back to the universe right here.
In some ways, yeah. In other ways, you know, the Avs did have two proper leads in this game.
Yeah.
And gave both of them away.
They also had chances to put it further away.
Right.
and they just missed wide open nets. Can't do that.
Looking at you, Devon.
And Spencer Martin made some timely saves.
He did.
So
he did.
Yeah. It was a combination of bad luck with the puck.
It certainly didn't work out. You would have liked to see the Avs, I think, more than hold the leads, like you were saying, Blaise. You'd have liked to see the Avs extend that leads, bury this team. It's not like they didn't have opportunities to do so. They didn't. They let them back in. It ends up being a blown lead loss. Sucks, but again, when you put it in context, you go, word. Yeah, Alex Newhook played like 16 minutes tonight in the top six. Oh, yeah, Oscar Olausson was in the game. Oh, yeah, their bottom line had Dryden Hunt on the power play.
Oscar was on the top line for a little bit.
Yeah.
Put Oscar on PP2.
I can't believe they didn't put Oscar on PP2 as well, but you know what? They didn't. Anyway, end of the first period. Avs are up 2-1. You feel pretty good about the game at that point. You get into the second period. First thing we got to talk about is the goal that is called back. Because this did happen. It didn't really matter because Vancouver scored like a minute later in the exact same way. So it was kind of negated. But I am curious. When I saw that play, I would have challenged it. I'll put it that way. So is that credit Bednar or is it just wacky goaltender interference nonsense?
You would have challenged it?
I would not have challenged that.
It felt like Bednar doing right by Francois, too. It was kind of upon his insistence and like, all right, I'm throwing it to the goaltender. I'm going to do right by him and trust that he's adamant this needs to be reviewed. It felt like it was at Francois' discretion because from where we're sitting, it didn't seem like it warranted it to be reviewed. But I guess you want to do right by your goalie, too.
I always just look at it like if you reverse that role, right, and it's against the Avs. Like, would you be super upset if that goal got called back? Absolutely on that
one. Absolutely. It was weird.
I mean, it wasn't like Frankie got ran into. Like, he was in the crease, so you have that. But then Frankie just shoves the guy out of the way.
That's the problem I have, is Francois initiates the contact in a situation where he's not initiating contact because he's trying to make a save. He just rolls into the dude and gives him a shove.
But either way, cool. Good for the Avs.
Was it?
Was it, though? They get that one called back. Unfortunately, you know, I think it was 90 seconds later or something. Similar play happens. A tip in front goes in. That's one where you go, okay, these things happen. A nice tip play from Vancouver. Tip your cap. It's a tie game. Move on to the next one.
Yeah, Horvat with a nice stick there. That was a great redirection.
It really was.
Yeah.
So that's the one goal I'm looking at in this game going like, there's other good hockey players out there, you know? Hard to fault anyone on the Avs really for that one. So at least you have that going for you. The Avs gave up one goal that you can't really blame anyone on. But beyond that, if you're looking for good vibes at the start of your day, Athletic Greens. Just one scoop in your cup of water every morning to get you going. Obviously, it's super good for a bunch of different parts of your body. It'll get your immune system going. It's great for workout routines. It's got a bunch of probiotics, 75 different vitamins and minerals, adaptogens, all sorts of other cool stuff that, is good for your body and good for all of that stuff. So highly recommend you check it out today at athleticgreens.com/avalanche to let them know we sent you over there. And when you order, you get a year's supply of vitamin D to go with it just for purchasing. So take control of your health today and get over to athleticgreens.com/avalanche. Also brought to you by DraftKings Sportsbook. Right now, they got the hockey promotion going on. Use the DNVR code when you sign up for a new account today with them. If you bet $5 on any NHL team to win their next game, if they do, you get $150 in free bets. So get it in there. Get $150 in free bets and go make a ton of money with DraftKings betting on whatever you feel like. Mikko Rantanen, multiple point nights. It's the freest bet in America at this point. I don't know what to tell you. You got to get in on it. Of course, you can also bet on all sorts of other stuff, too. You can bet on who you think is going to win awards at the end of the year. You can bet on teams to make or miss the playoffs. Whatever you want to get in on. DraftKings has you covered well beyond hockey, too. If you want to bet on crazy sports that I've never heard of, you can do that also. So head on over to DraftKings. Use that DNVR code with a new account. Must be 21 or older. Colorado only. Other terms, restrictions, and conditions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook and the show notes for details. Of course, if you have a gambling problem, call 1-800-522-4700. Second period of the DNVR Avalanche podcast presented by DraftKings Sportsbook. What could the Avs do better tonight? Let's get into this conversation. How do the Avs fix the problems they had tonight?
Well, I mean, the second period, we started talking about 10 minutes into that second period, there was no sustained pressure whatsoever. They had two shots on net.
Mm-hmm.
They looked like they were just all over the place there. They couldn't get the puck in deep. They couldn't set anything up. Looked just kind of discombobulated down there. Just forgot how to play hockey for a little bit.
Yep. True. I have no argument. It was hibernation time at the start of the second period. You would like to see the Avs play a complete game. I think at this point, again, I understand there's factors there in the lack of bodies that they have to play, but there have not been a ton of games this year where you've seen them play a full 60 minutes.
Yeah.
The Washington game, and I guess the second game against Columbus out in Finland are really the only two that I can think of where it felt pretty good all the way through the game.
Can you fault them, though, right now
with all the injuries? Like,
is it hard to put together a full 60 minutes when half of your team is missing, and it seems like there's a carousel of injuries going on right now?
It's incredibly difficult, not because they're missing half of the team, but because in any game where they don't get out to a big lead because of those roster issues, the bench is ridiculously short.
Yeah.
And not just for the forwards, but the defensemen too, right? Like, yeah. You're not seeing a bottom pairing really even touch the ice in certainly tied situations, and even in one-goal game situations. They just aren't using those guys very, very much. So I get it. That's a problem that's hard to get around, but how can the Avs figure it out, Megan?
I know it's our job to offer some kind of analysis, even if we can all agree that the circumstances that made things difficult for them tonight were in ways out of their control, with such a thinned out lineup, getting even thinner with guys going in and out, getting stitched up, losing Rodriguez. Like, those are very real things that are hard to overcome. So it's hard to be very critical of them, because I even felt like, you point to other parts of the lineup, like, okay, next man up, right? I still thought a guy like JT Compher had a good night. I guess the other area you're looking to then is someone like Dryden Hunt, who does need to justify the waiver claim just a little bit while he's here, because I'm not even looking that critically at someone like Jason Megna. He's not even going to be on the ice enough to really have an impact. Similar for Dryden Hunt, though, but you'd like to see that change, right? That they make themselves indispensable and warrant getting a little bit more time on ice so it is better distributed. So I guess, kind of touching on what you were talking about, how we've seen the Avs apply pressure as needed, in seeing that weird goal in the first period, I think that's when they needed to take mental note that this is going to be the period that they need to apply pressure, as well as the second, because they let something kind of weird happen 21 seconds into the first. And so knowing that, the second period is kind of where I point to it being a little bit unacceptable that they didn't apply more pressure, because they were understandably gassed in the third. And I think they could have anticipated that. Seeing Evan Rodriguez go down, I think they could have anticipated that and had a stronger second period. And that's really where I would point to them to have looked for a little more goal support overall. And then it wasn't a great night for Frankie.
Truth be told.
Like, this isn't to come down hard on Frankie, the goaltender, as a whole. It just wasn't the best showing either, and this combination of things made it a little challenging for the Avs to combat.
Well, especially, like, looking at that, right? Like, you're going into the weekend where you have a back-to-back. You're hoping, you're playing Frankie tonight because you're playing a team that hasn't been good,
yeah.
Right? You're hoping that he does what he's been doing. Like, you look at what his record has been. He's been great. Right, so you're like, okay, we'll play him tonight. You know, you get a rest for your starting goaltender, and then you know that Frankie's going to play one of those back-to-back games, either the first one or the second one.
Yeah.
Now you're kind of running into this, well, who are we going to start and where are we going to start now? Because you're kind of looking at this as your win going into a weekend where you think you're going to lose at least one of those games.
it was an interesting choice. I like Georgiev because of the shootout. I'm sure, and how close it is to the proximity of this game was maybe some reason why Frankie started this game. But because of the matinee and then Saturday back at home, I really thought it was going to be Georgiev tonight, Frankie Friday, Georgiev again Saturday. It is kind of a weird order, and now it poses a weird question of who is going to be starting Friday, Saturday.
Yeah.
It will be a curious one, especially with Dallas again on Saturday. And look, was Frankie horrible tonight? No. But he did post an 840. He got beat by Spencer Martin, who before tonight was a sub-900 goaltender
right,
so far
like
this season.
Yeah.
It's particularly the last goal. I think that's the one you kind of need him to stop. But we'll get there in a second. Because the Avs do take a 3-2 lead back in this game. And can we all just... Everyone sees it, right? It's time for Cale Makar to be the shooter on the power play. Like, MacKinnon tried what felt like 15 times tonight, and it just couldn't get it to work. And they switch him with Makar once, and the puck's in the back of the net.
Like, well, that's the thing, right? Was that the 4-minute power play that we're talking about there?
Yeah.
MacKinnon has three cracks at it.
Yep.
And then they finally switch to where Makar becomes the guy on the half boards there. One shot, one kill.
Yep. I look, we've talked about this personally a lot at the bar. AJ was tweeting about it tonight. Makar and Mikko should be your shooters on the power play before MacKinnon. They just should be. It's the proof is in the pudding tonight. Not that MacKinnon isn't an unbelievable player. Not that you don't want MacKinnon to shoot. It's fine as MacKinnon shoots as our camera dies. It's fine if MacKinnon is shooting, but you want MacKinnon to shoot in spots where he succeeds, those being wrist shots, snapshot style opportunities.
Right.
So the 1T is cool when it works, but Makar's and Mikko's are just better than yours, Mac. I don't know what to tell you.
Yeah, he has other...
I think having him up at the point, though, is kind of an interesting idea as well, because like he has such a hard shot. When you're looking at Makar and Rantanen, they have that precision shot to them, right? So they're perfect on the half walls there, but having MacKinnon as that bomb from the top, that's another weapon that you can have then.
Yep. Look, I'll take anything different right now because we've established the MacKinnon one-timer just isn't consistent enough.
Well, you just look at what else is working right now, and it's like you got to play the hot hand.
Agree.
He gets one-timer per power play, and then he has to switch.
If it's popping, you run it.
If it's not popping, then you.
Okay. We're all in agreement then. Hopefully, Jared Bednar's watching the show. And it's like, okay. We'll go with that.
Also, Bedsy Olausen on PP2. It's right there.
Yeah, come on. Dryden Hunt over that dude on PP2. What are we doing? What are we doing, Jared? since we walked into that room, Olausen existed tonight.
That's tough. You know, you knew he was going to be sheltered, and then he was extra sheltered because of the injuries. I understand it, too. Like, I don't think he did anything egregiously wrong in the time that we saw him. I think it was, like, 9 shifts, right?
Yep.
I didn't think he looked completely out of place. It just wasn't very much to evaluate either.
And, like, not particularly surprising. We kind of knew that was likely to be the way things went. It's cool that he got his first game. The reality of that guy in the lineup is your body is lukewarm. Come on down, play a couple minutes of hockey for us.
Well, it's good that those guys are getting the opportunity now. Like, right? Like, this seems like the right time to do it. You had some injuries.
For sure.
You're playing a team that you feel like you're going to beat, even though that wasn't the outcome. Seems like a safe space to kind of bring him into this.
Yeah, with the injuries the way they are, roll whoever. If they want to play Olausen 15 minutes a night, fine. They just got to get through it until some of these dudes start getting healthy.
Yeah,
I really wouldn't hate that.
Me either.
Live and die by that.
It'd be fun or terribly depressing. Like, you're either enjoying a close game with the kids playing or you're getting blown out probably. So but at least it'd be different. With that being said, the Cale Makar goal gets him up 3-2. I've spent the last five games, just every game, being like, I don't think you guys understand. Cale Makar is insane. I can't keep doing that. But it's just a blessing to watch that guy every single night. He's ridiculous. Unfortunately, the Avs just did not close well in the third period at all. You go into the third period with a lead and you lose the game.
Yeah.
I don't care what your roster is. I don't care what the situation is. It's a game you probably should have won, and they didn't. So you needed better in the third period. Yeah, there was some weirdness, but I don't know. Just frustrating is the way that I would put it. Obviously.
Well, and they had their opportunities in the third, too, agreed. Right? Like, going back to Cale Makar, what a move at the blue line.
Yep.
Makes an ungodly pass through the whole zone to the other side of the net where Taves has come down, and he just kind of puts it on the ice thinking that he's going to have a free shot. He just needed to raise that puck. You have another goal right there. They had opportunities in the third. They just didn't execute and score on those.
And, you know, Megan, you said it at the start of the show, puck luck was tough tonight. The game-tying goal in the third period is what really should have been a good defensive play by Logan O'Connor.
Yeah, that he tried to break it up with his stick, and it just goes to the net front instead, where Sheldon Dries is parked up there.
Yep, and catches Frankie moving across with the pass. He sticks out and makes the initial stop with a pad save, but again, yeah, as Blaze is so ready to point out, the Avs not defending the front of their net particularly well there.
I mean, this is something that you see every now and then from them.
Occasionally.
Usually it works out because you have the skill level of the defenseman out down there and your centerman. They all can move so fast that you're not really worried about it because it's just this, like, overpowering along the board so that puck never comes out. But when it does, it's a free shot for the other team.
Yep. And it came right to Dries there. Dries finished nicely with, I forget which defenseman it was that couldn't get back into the play.
Yeah.
And yeah, like, you know, you're not asking your defenseman to be ready for a weird bounce like that.
Right.
No.
But also not a great look when there's a dude with a 5-foot bubble around him standing in front of your goalie, you know? So
it's a system, though. It's the Avs system. You kind of live and die with it. Like, it just happens.
It does. You live with a tough puck luck there, but from that point on, you have to find a way to be one goal better, and the Avs found a way to be one goal worse.
Yeah.
I'll open the floor to you guys on the penalty. The Avs are on a power play. The Cale Makar gets called for interference. A call we've seen before this year, I will say that. But what did you guys think? Is that a reasonable penalty, or are we doing nonsense here?
The reason I'm struggling is because it was called as recently as the Carolina game. Exact same circumstance, right? He parks at the blue line as a strategy to just kind of stonewall a guy trying to enter the zone, and it's called as your interference in Carolina. It just feels like, all right, this is consistently how it's being called. Might need to reevaluate. I know I'm going to probably get flamed in the chat for this. Might need to reevaluate then if that is going to be a risky strategy that does sometimes get called. I don't know.
It seems like it's getting called all the time. The problem with it is, like, you're entitled to your ice.
Yeah.
And this one isn't as egregious as you've seen before. Like, Cale Makar's not looking at the guy. Right.
The last one,
he's like, you can tell. You can see what's going on.
Let me just slide into his path here.
This one is like, if I, you know, he's trying to basically just, I don't know, I guess not get out of the way, but just kind of stay in his ice.
Yeah, you can't, like, expect him to step across the blue line and go offside either. Yeah. Like, and the problem I had with this, and Jesse tweeted this out tonight from the game, where it's like, if I'm seeing that call, if I'm a penalty killer and I'm seeing that call getting called in the league this year, I'm standing at the blue line, picking a guy, and just skating right at him until I run into him.
Yep.
Like
I didn't have a big issue with the last one, because like we talked about, Makar's looking at him. You can see that it's a planned play. This one,
cheeky, yeah.
Yeah, this one just seems like it's, you know, it's a bang bang. Like, he could have gone right, he could have gone left. He's not looking at the guy.
Yep. I just don't know. And, like, if that's the way they're going to call it, fine. Like, whatever. The Avs need to adjust. If I would say if they get that call against them one more time this year, it's like, okay, you can't do that anymore. Yeah. You just have to figure out a different way to play. But I also don't see how the refs could ever keep that call consistent.
That's probably the issue, too.
Yeah.
It was interesting to see how frustrated Makar was. You don't normally see that level of emotion out of him. Which is pretty revealing, too, that this time specifically wasn't as intentional as times we've seen before.
And the thing is, like, I would have a bigger issue with it if I think it made a bigger impact on the game. But I don't think Makar's penalty is what led to the goal against the Avs. Like, it takes away a power play opportunity, sure. But the Avs just kind of get beat on the next play, regardless of it. It wasn't the Avs' penalty kill. It was a 4-on-4 situation. And you have really what shouldn't be that dangerous of a play, where Vancouver gets in the zone, they give it to Ethan Bear, he throws a shot on from well outside the circles, and Francois gets screened.
Sure, there's some traffic.
But goaltenders, part of their job is fighting through screens. And Frankie just never sees this one, is never even close to it, and it's up in the top half of the net. And ends up being the game-winning goal on really a play that just shouldn't have been that dangerous. Do you need a stop from Frankie? Maybe. Did the penalty call hurt the momentum? Yeah, sure. If you want to make that argument, I would agree. But you can't have a penalty call just lead to your team falling flat on their face immediately. It's not good enough.
It's a great shot. It was pretty far away. It's up over his shoulder. Frankie's a smaller goaltender. It's a great shot.
I don't know if I'd say great, but
it was a great shot.
It was
great
very
placement.
Good.
It wasn't fast. It was precise.
I have nothing to say to that. Nothing to add. We are brought to you by Breckenridge Brewery, the official beer of DNVR. Go get yourself some. Maybe you'll have it during your Thanksgiving meal, or maybe you're beer basting your turkey with it. Who knows? You can check them out at breckbrew.com. Find them at your local liquor store with the Breck Beer Locator online. Use that. They also have a bunch of awesome merch at Breck Brew, so check that stuff out. A lot of people really, really love their hats. Third period of the DNVR Avalanche podcast presented by DraftKings Sportsbook. We talked about a lot of the negatives. Finishing up the game, Avs never really got it going, if we're being honest, after that 4-3 goal. They had a couple shifts or two where it felt dangerous, but never put it together, and final nail in the coffin is Lucky getting called for an interference penalty on an offensive zone faceoff, which, par for the course, I guess. I also don't like the interference calls on the faceoffs, but I think there's at least a decent argument that what Lucky did was interference.
I think it was a good call. It was a weird way to interfere, but I think it was a good call.
He had to interfere there.
More of a trip than an interference, maybe. But, puck's going the other way.
Yeah.
Is what it is.
If the Avalanche were a car, they ran out of gas.
Oh, for sure.
100%.
They hit a few things. They got banged up. The car was a little banged up,
rear view.
Just wasn't good.
Side mirror.
Steering wheel's driving straight, and you're holding it like this. It's not great. We talked about a lot of the negatives. Would be remiss to not mention the huge positive tonight being Mikko Rantanen. One, being okay. Probably just a broken nose, nothing serious. And two, I know we talked about him a little bit, but another two-goal night for the dude. And two sweet goals. Yeah. Like, if you're looking for the player that has stepped up the most because of the injuries the Avs have had, I think it's Mikko. I say that because it doesn't matter who's on the ice. MacKinnon and Makar are always great.
Right.
But you've seen Mikko hit that next level without some of these other options the Avs have. And it's the guy we've all been waiting for. We've been asking Mikko to be this dude. And he's being the dude. I don't know. I guess he's being the moose, I should say. He's more moose than man at this point.
More moose.
Well, it's just one of those things, like, he makes the game look so easy, right? Like,
yep.
It looks like he's not trying, but when you see the portions where he does look like he's trying, now he's using that huge frame that he has and being physical as well.
Yep. Hard agree.
I mean, it's just that more dimensional game that he's, you know, rounding out right now. And it's good to see it, especially when you have all these injuries and he's just stepping up to the plate, showing the way for the younger guys, too, that are coming up from the AHL, how to play a full-rounded game.
I think we knew Mikko could do this, and we've seen him do it. It's just seeing him do it consistently game after game has been something we've been left wanting more, and he's finally doing that, and it's great to see.
Great, and also frustrating that the Avs let a game get away from them where they got that out of Mikko.
Right. Yeah.
Right? It's unfortunate. 100% understand where people disappointed in that loss are coming from. But if I'm being honest, I'll be way more disappointed Friday when I find out Erod's out for 3 months. Yeah.
Bad. Like
3 months. Oh.
I'm being optimistic. You're an optimist. Yeah, there. I'm being optimistic.
I'm going to say 6 to 8.
I hope not. That's worst case, right? Like, that's the case. The Avs have a 2C problem once again.
Ben Myers. I'm kidding.
I mean, probably not for 2C, but don't be surprised if you see that guy.
I do think we forget that he exists. Like, we're quick to point to Galchenyuk, but he's probably a lower risk guy that could plug into the lineup way more easily. I think they're still giving Galchenyuk a look before they make any decisions.
Most likely, but we'll see as it comes through. We do have some super chats to get to here. Okay. Suppose I don't know how many does that dollars is that from Charles. Oh, I see. Okay, he gave $20. Understood. Thank you very much, Charles. Supposed to be with the super chat. First time in the arena tonight. Vibes were off the wave during a PK. Had a feeling after the first few minutes it might be a weird one. I don't. We talk about this a lot, but I don't care about the wave. If paying fans want to do the wave, let them do the wave. It doesn't affect the game.
I mean, he's got a good point, though. Like, during the PK, it's kind of a weird time to
be
doing a wave.
It's a weird time to do the wave.
Were the fans having fun doing it?
Sure.
Then let them do it.
All right.
Second king of the game to whoever threw the candy onto the ice.
Nope.
To give him, kidding.
Opposite.
No.
The opposite of king of the game for that person. Please don't throw things on the ice.
I'm not encouraging that. I'm not. And if I'm so sorry. Like,
it's just don't be that person, okay? Nobody wants you here if you're like, yeah, throw stuff on the ice. No, go away. Get out of here.
Weasels.
$20 from Banks. Avs injury fund, not Kale interference, also said I lost $70 on the Avs tonight, but still got to show love to my fave Avs guys. Appreciate you, Banks. I don't know. That was a tough look on betting tonight with some of those calls. Yeah. I don't know what to tell you. The amazing Drew with another $50. He's an absolute madman. We need to have Megan with a knife at the arena holding a sign saying, if you hurt our guys, I'll hurt you. We also need to start a ticker for Makar interference penalties. We have way too many things that people are asking for tickers of. You guys got to chill. I started with posts, and now you're like, every injury, add a ticker. Every call, add a ticker. Every time Bednar calls a timeout, add a ticker. He's like, calm down. Calm down, guys.
Every missed McKinnon one-timer, add a ticker.
That ticker goes up too fast to keep track of, I think. $20 more from the Gorilla Guys. Happy Thanksgiving. Thanksgiving to you as well and to everybody in the chat. Who observes? And if it's not a holiday weekend for you, then happy Thursday tomorrow. I don't know. I'm pretty good. I don't think there's a whole lot more in depth to go out on this game. Avs probably should have pulled it out, but instead they gassed it out. So, any final thoughts from either of you?
I think it's an important time to talk about what we're grateful for. And I'm grateful for Val Nichushkin, and I hope that he's healthy soon.
There you go. Hopefully Val is back soon. Blaze?
I'm not going to go that route. I'm going, this makes the weekend a lot harder of a back-to-back series now with this loss, because I think you're you're looking at this one as that should have been a W, and now you have to go into this weekend going, we got to win against Nashville, and then you have a very tough game on Saturday.
Yeah, I mean, I think if you split, you're okay.
I mean, it's all this is two divisional opponents that you're going against.
I know, but given the context, I think if you split, you're okay with it. Yeah. Two more dollars from Banks saying Avs country, let's ride. Is that what people say when teams lose now, I guess? anyway, I'm thankful for all of you, chat. We appreciate y'all so much supporting us, coming out, showing out, even though it's 11:40 on a Wednesday and this hockey game
day before Thanksgiving.
Yeah. Ridiculous scheduling. And then they're going to make you get up at noon the day after Thanksgiving to watch an Avs game.
That's scheduled during the USA soccer game.
Yeah, not thankful for the NHL scheduler. That's for sure. Thankful for you, though, Avs chat. We're going to get out of here for the night. Keep it brief. We appreciate all of y'all as our camera does. You know what? Perfect. Just send us. Let's get out of here.
You know, if you haven't checked out What Chaos yet, you oughta, because we've had all your favorite players on the show. I'm talking Seth Jones, Linus Ullmark, Connor Bedard, whoever it may be.
We're live every day on YouTube at noon Eastern, but also available on all podcast platforms, including the one you're listening to right now.
We got guests, and yeah, we're also doing a bit of chit-chat, goofing around, laughing at what makes us laugh in hockey.
So regardless of how deep you are into your hockey fandom, come listen to What Chaos. We'll talk about your favorite team. We'll talk about your least favorite team and everybody in between. And we're having a ton of fun doing it every single day, Monday through Thursday. It's What Chaos, presented by All City Network.